This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. If you're planning your next vacation and you're thinking, I'm going to go lug this stupid stroller through the... Will just made a face.
Through the dadgum airport.
You're going to put this stroller, throw in the back seat, going to take up all this trunk space. I don't know what's going on. It's going to take up too much trunk.
Turn into a Western.
It's going to take up too much trunk space.
Never heard a Western talking about trunk space.
Yeah. It's like Westworld. If you're going to Westworld and you're thinking about bringing a stroller,
Don't do it.
You can rent them in Westworld. KingdomStrollers.com. They're a great organization. I use them every time. Whenever I can. Whenever I'm there with the kids. Not every time. When I'm there by myself, I don't use them as much. But with the kids, they can really help you out. They can really help you out. KingdomStrollers.com. I know some of you guys have already booked with them. They'll bring you your if you need a crib, they'll even do cribs and mattresses and bedding. But they'll also, their bread and butter, if you will, is these amazing strollers. You can pick which one. I recommend personally the City Mini, or like the City Mini Double, or the City Mini Deluxe. I just bought a City Mini Double for my twins because of using it. Kingdom Strollers. I loved it that much. It's the easiest stroller in the world, and you can get it right there at KingdomStrollers.com. Check them out. They're going to deliver it to you. They're going to take it away. No problems. Ease. Don't worry about lugging it through the airport. Hook that baby in that baby Bjorn and run to your gate. That'll be great. Go to KingdomStrollers.com.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, November 16th, and this is episode 1539 of WDW Today. I am a tired Logan Seculo.
As per usual.
And you're who?
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
Yeah. I was waiting for someone to say, I'm tired, and you're like, I'm retired. But no one did.
I'm thinking about retiring from the show, folks.
I understand. Trust me, if you've had the week I've had. No, I'm kidding. I did have a crazy week, and I'm going to let someone else lead it because it feels weird to be interviewing myself.
Logan, you had a crazy week.
There you go.
I think that we should really talk about this. You actually had a really cool opportunity come up because of the show.
Yeah, so I was invited to run out to L.A.
Running takes a long time.
It took me too many days because I only had like 3 days to get there, and we actually got the invite officially, I think, while we were recording the show last week, that we got invited to the press event for Moana out in L.A., which was awesome. So Moana, if you don't know, if you're just a fan of the parks and don't know about the movies, is the brand new Disney animated film that comes out next Friday.
So a week from today? No, it comes out a week from today.
Oh, it comes out right before Thanksgiving. That's right.
Yeah, the 23rd.
And I got to see the movie, which was really cool. Went out there. We were shuttled over to the Walt Disney Studios lot, which was really cool to be back on the lot. I've been there once before and kind of walk around a little bit, especially at dark when no one was there. And a small group of us, maybe.
Logan normally walks around there at nighttime by himself.
I've only been in there during the day when everyone's working and it's crazy. But so everything was kind of closed except for their theater, and they kind of escorted us from the Legends Pavilion. If you know, like, have you ever seen pictures of that? It has the partner statue and also has like where the dwarves are holding up the building. We were able to go past that and then go into the movie theater to watch a screening of Moana. And that was on Friday night. Or no, it was on Saturday night, excuse me. And watched the film with probably another 200 people, 150 people, most of which were other Disney outlets. So fan sites,
media
blogs.
Types.
Yeah, pretty much social media, I'd say, or... park media, a lot of the people, all ears, a lot of those guys were out there represented. And it was very cool to be in the room with everybody. And this is the first one WDW Today has been invited to. And that's because, if you may remember, about 6 months ago, however long it's been, we had on Armand Serrano from Zootopia. And that just kind of got us in their system. So now you should be hearing more about this. So we got to see Moana with a good group of people. And I'd say I really enjoyed the movie. If you're considering going, I would say it's an absolute must. It's directed by the guys who did Aladdin and so many of the classic Little Mermaid, the classic in, 80s and 90s Disney animated features. So it has a lot of that vibe to it. It kind of has some of those classic Disney elements to it. The music is by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who obviously you know probably from really the songs. There's also music by another person, but the songs were by Lin, who you probably know from Hamilton or In the Heights. and the songs were amazing. And it stars a bunch of cast members that are brand new. The girl who plays Moana, but mainly the big name is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, as well as, really, you know, not to spoil it, but Jermaine Clement from Fly the Conchords is in it, and a few other people that you'll recognize, some voices, people that I even know aren't even really advertised as being a part of it are in it. And it's a really good movie. I really liked it.
Which Disney film, whether classic or more recent, what vein is this one in?
Yeah, I went to the press conference, and they kind of compared it a lot to The Lion King, and it has that vibe to it, I'd say. Kind of The Lion King meets The Little Mermaid. They didn't make The Lion King, but they said they just kind of, you know, took some of those elements. It definitely has that sort of story, because this doesn't really give anything away, but it's about a little girl who wants to go on an adventure and go beyond her little island. And her parents are saying, no, you can't go there. That's the dark place. You're not supposed to go over there. That's where bad things happen. Very similar to the Lion King's kind of start.
Yeah. Everything the light touches.
Maybe not as traumatic as The Lion King. Like, uh-huh. It's, you know, this doesn't spoil anything. There's just that part of the classic Disney stuff is not in this. There is some sadness. There's death. And those kind of things are featured. But they're done in a different way than, you know, Mufasa getting murdered.
What if we do something completely different and just go all spoilers?
All right.
Just tell us everything that happened.
Okay, let's do it. So the first scene, Riker's already asked me. He said, tell me the whole story. I want to know everything before I go at him. I said, all right, so I kind
of... Any good animal characters looking out for?
Animal characters? No, I don't think there's any. Well, there's a... Moana, who's the little girl in it, has a pet chicken.
Okay.
And a pet pig. Neither of which are like... Neither of which talk.
Oh, so that's why I was wondering if there are any kind of speaking part animals.
No, but I'd say the chicken definitely plays a big role in it. The pig has a decent role, but the chicken is sort of kind of like the...
What came first, the chicken or the pig?
The chicken is very much similar to the flying carpet. Has a
personality
and an element to it.
Not speaking.
Not as smart as a flying carpet.
When I was hearing about the movie, what kind of interested in me is how they brought in some people who don't even work for Disney anymore to do some of the character design, some of those guys that did, I know Eric Goldberg did.
Yeah, and it has that vibe. Like, it definitely has a feeling of a classic Disney movie. I'd say that if I was going to give a completely objective, honest review, the first 20 minutes or so drag a little. But once you pass that, like, almost, again, this doesn't build anything up. Once you get to The Rock, essentially appearing, who plays Maui, once he shows up, it is a great movie that I thoroughly loved. I liked the beginning too. Don't get me wrong. And trust me, I had a long day, a lot of travel. So probably was going to hook me more the second time around. But really, once The Rock shows up as Maui, this incredible demigod character, it's kind of like Aladdin in that element of, like, once the genie finally shows up, or once Olaf shows up in Frozen, then the movie kind of shifts.
So the first act, sleep through.
No, I wouldn't say sleep through it, but it's just different. It's more of, here's where we're setting up this story.
Okay.
When I kind of thought the movie would be, The Rock is in the first scene and he's in the rest of the movie. It's like, yeah. No, it takes, he is the genie in that much where it's, you're building up to his final reveal. Yeah. And then once he's there, the movie changes. And once he's in it and the music really starts to get going, it's more fun. There's a couple sequences that very reminiscent of, I'd say, some of the ways The Lion King incorporated music. And I like that there's certain things, like, I believe they're singing, like, and they acknowledge that they're singing.
Uh-huh.
It's not a musical sense of they're just singing to be singing. Like, it's very much like, oh, we're singing this song in this moment. Huh. Maybe a couple times there's not, but really they kind of focus on that. And it's just a really good movie. I really liked it. There's a funny thing. If you're a Disney fan, which I know you are, stay until the end of the credits. It's very short, but it's a funny element that throws in, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but it's for Disney fans. So, you know, stay and watch that.
What's the runtime on that? You know how long it is?
I'll find out the exact, it's close to 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it goes by, that's the thing is that, yeah, there's maybe a half an hour without Maui, who's The Rock, in it, but then there's a good chunk of the movie. And it has that sort of element of it's fairly linear. There's not a lot of, I mean, the message is really good, but it's not this like preaching over the head or something that your kid's going to have struggle with understanding. Mm-hmm. It's a very clear cut story, but man, it was a blast. It was great to be there. I'm glad to see it. I'll be seeing it again next weekend for sure with my kids.
Do you think it's going to have that hit kind of
static? Yeah.
I mean, obviously everything's going to be compared to Frozen at this point, which I doubt it's going to reach that. But do you think it's going to get a lot of buzz and it's going to get a good long run in the theaters?
Oh yeah. I think it'll play for a long time. I don't think it'll be Frozen just cause that's one in a million. And though the songs are really great and all y'all know, I love Hamilton and I love that music. it's not as maybe kid friendly to sing a lot. I mean, right, that's it. My son sings all the Hamilton songs, so I can't say that. There's a couple songs that have been stuck, straight up stuck in my head.
Well, that's good.
One by The Rock and one by Jermaine, which both of those have been in my head since I saw the movie. And you can't buy the soundtrack. And that's driving me crazy.
Rising tide, the waves crashing.
Actually, in the press conference, they asked Lin, like, what was your process of going about writing a Disney animated thing? He's like, I just had to sit there and go, don't write Let It Go. Don't write Let It Go. And he said that I'd start the snow glow squash. So that was pretty funny. And that segues into the next day. I was able to go to a press conference, sat front row center with the directors, with The Rock, with Lin-Manuel Miranda, the girl that plays Moana, and other people that do music and kind of did the aesthetic and producing. But to sit there in the room with them and hear them talk about this film, see how passionate they were, was really great. Had a moment with Lin where I got to talk to him for just a second, and then a couple moments with The Rock. Both were awesome. And with Lin, we didn't really talk much. It was more a fanboy moment. Get my picture and say how much I love Hamilton. I'll see him later. And he was super nice. And then The Rock, we actually talked about Nashville professional wrestling and a documentary I'm working on. So
all Disney things.
All Disney things, but those weren't like press. I didn't like stand up and be like, I got a question. I didn't get called on, which was unfortunate. I did have some interesting questions that I wanted to ask them, but there was probably 100 people again in the room and lots of outlets. So it wasn't like all this time. It wasn't all like the Disney community. It was, the Boston Globe had a question. The New York Times had a question. So it was a big group of people that were there. A lot of print were there. And then we just had a great time. It was really fun. I encourage everyone to see it. I'm very curious how it plays out in the parks. I assume we're going to get a meet and greet with the characters. Maui could make an awesome character to meet and greet, and with Moana as well. I don't see how. I don't know when that will happen though, because usually like with Ralph, I feel like they were already doing it or where it was going to happen. Because with all those ones, they usually stuck them in that spot in the animation pavilion, and now it's gone. So I don't know where those characters will appear if they've said anything.
Yeah, because at Disneyland, they were kind of in that store right next to Space Mountain.
Right,
and they were in the animation building. There was always kind of the current characters there. So I don't know where they would...
I don't know.
Where they would put them. It seems like Epcot, maybe? There seems like they're... Because that's where the Inside Out characters are now.
They could put them there.
I think there's a little room over there still.
I think they'll wait to see if it's a big enough hit. Because I think that's what... If you saw like Inside Out, took a while till the meet and greet. Zootopia, I think you're just now doing... So maybe it'll be 6 months from now. Maybe this summer we'll see meet and greets with Maui and Moana. But I think they should.
Maybe once the movie, like Zootopia, the character's like, hey, we made $1 billion. Not
right.
The character.
Now let's bring them there. Same with Inside Out. So, last one that was kind of in that rotation was really Baymax. And, they took him away, ended up bringing him back. So many people wanted pictures of Baymax. I hope we do see it. I think it'd be really neat. I'd love to see elements they could create for the parks with this film because it is very cultural based. There could be something Epcot tie-in. I don't really know what pavilion it would work in because it's not Hawaii. It's like a Polynesian area or a Samoa area. It's not a specific place in the movie. I think it's probably a fictional island, but it really shows off that culture.
Well, I feel like it would be an easy tie-in to do some resort stuff with it. At Poly.
Oh, yeah, Poly. Yeah, that would be great. And they do Stitch so much that I could see this becoming
be a nice
the replacement
yeah.
of Stitch.
I would imagine you'll see some at Aulani as well.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I can't imagine. But like,
we won't see some.
Yeah, if you're listening.
I go to Hawaii all the time.
Yeah, if they are listening, then I'd love that morning breakfast at Ohana to switch from Stitch to Maui. That would be awesome.
Or maybe just add...
Or switch out Maui, or switch out Moana, or switch out Maui and Moana, and get rid of Lilo and Stitch. I like Lilo and Stitch; it's a great movie. But this movie, I think, has a bigger impact potentially.
Was there a short before the movie?
There is a short called Inner Workings, and they did a panel on that as well. It is fantastic. I have to say that I think Moana is a really good movie and has great elements. Like there are moments in Moana that I just loved. I loved Inner Workings. It is hilarious. It's sweet. It's genuine. I don't want to spoil anything because it's a short. But it is well worth your time to get there early and see Inner Workings. It's probably it's right up there with like Feast. It's really close, if not better. It's such a unique take on kind of how your body, your brain, and your heart, and how it kind of works together. And it's just a very creative piece that I just loved. They were talking about how I think the director said like it was based on his cultural background, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but I believe he's Japanese. Very traditional, but he was raised in Brazil, where it was, crazy and fun and kind of dealing with those two cultures. In some ways, that's the way it ties in. But for an American audience, it's it's a very much a, you know, don't get stuck at your day job doing the in and out, you're going to die there kind of thing. But really funny and really well done and sweet. That's a near perfect short film. I loved it.
It feels like they've gone from like the shorts being an afterthought to like, sometimes it seems like the short is even better than the movie.
Yeah. And talking with some guys I know from Disney, they were saying that, you know, a lot of the times when I'm not sure about these guys when they're working, but a lot of times by the time the movie gets out, that crew has quit Disney, has gotten hired by some big company to go direct their first feature. I think that's what happened with Feast. The guys that made Feast, by the time it was showing up in our theaters, those guys had already been picked up by Paramount, I think. And I'm not sure what movie they ended up working on. Maybe we can pull that up. And then usually they work their way back into Disney after they've shown their success in their first feature. So yeah, it's definitely now, instead of being an afterthought, it's the proving ground for a lot of these young directors. But it was cool. It was really great. And like I said, it was an honor to meet the great one, to meet The Rock. And you guys know I'm a wrestling fan, and he was super sweet and gracious, and can't say enough good about him. That man will be president of the United States. And I'm saying it right here. No, I have almost no doubt in my mind.
Well, you called Donald Trump, not necessarily with your support,
for the Hall of Presidents. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I did say that early on that he'd be the most fun Hall of Presidents, and we'll see. And The Rock has definitely shown interest in politics. And if he wanted to do it, he just has that thing in him where you're like, I will support you. You made me feel like I was important to you, and had that like moment where it was awesome. But I did also want to ask him about like where they felt like it could appear in the parks, but I didn't get a question in. Hopefully we can have someone on from Moana in the coming weeks, and we're talking to Disney right now about it, since kind of came home empty handed without some moments. But I did, you know, sit in the press conference, and it was very cool. So I'd say go see Moana. I think you're going to like it. I'm curious what you think, how this could play into the parks. I don't really necessarily see more than like a meet and greet happening, and I think it's going to be received really well. I don't think it'll be as a huge a success as something like Frozen. I don't think it'll be it's not as much of a society statement as Zootopia, where I didn't feel like it was getting preached at through this movie. So I think it's going to kind of play in that kind of good zone of the music is great, the story is good, and it does well. Maybe it's like a Tangled, where it's like you'll see something show up, but it may not be this giant super hit. But if it is, I'm thrilled, because I liked it a lot more than a lot of those other movies. I liked it more than Zootopia. I liked it more than Tangled. Frozen is pretty much a near perfect animated film, in my opinion. So you got Frozen, and I think close to it or right under it would be Moana for me in the current generation of animated movies. So, I hope you guys see it. I know we usually talk parks here only, but experience happened, and Disney was so kind to invite us that I didn't want to not talk about it here and talk about my experience. And I don't know if there's anything else cool to happen.
I want to think of another park tie-in.
Saw James Franco.
Where was he?
In the hotel. Just chilling.
Oh.
Didn't talk to him.
High roller over there.
So I had dinner at the Kisses Rock and Brews restaurant there at LAX.
Of course you did.
Well, I didn't go there. It was there and I was hungry. It was at LAX.
No, you sought it out.
Spent time at the Magic Castle, as always. Spent some time at... here's a funny story.
You had no park time, right?
No, I didn't have time to get to... I physically didn't have time to get to Anaheim.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Back.
You flew in, went straight to the hotel, and then went to the screening.
Yeah, so I got in early in the morning, and I went to the hotel, checked in. I rested for a little bit because I was exhausted, and then put on a suit, and I realized I'd left my pants, and I can't go to...
No pants Nelson.
I can't go to the Magic Castle without pants, only a jeans. So I Ubered from the Walt Disney Studios to the closest Target, bought a pair of pants, swapped them out real quick in the dressing room or in the bathroom. Then went over to the Magic Castle and spent some time there. And again, I've said this to other listeners. If you're in LA and you want to go to the Magic Castle, the world-famous Magic Castle, the Academy of Magical Arts, let me know. I can hook it up, and I'm happy to, because it's such an awesome place. Has some Disney history to it. Yale Gracie and a lot of the old Imagineers were all members, and a lot of the stuff from the Haunted Mansion was tested in the basement area of the Magic Castle. So it's a cool little bit of Disney history that's involved there. And even Walt was friendly with a lot of the guys that started with the Larson family. So, it's just it's a lot of fun. And from there, I went to the Comedy Store, heard some other great podcasters do comedy, which was great. Mark Maron and the Danny Shin O'Neill Show and all those guys.
The opposite of our podcast.
Yes, don't listen to those with the kids. Right. But really good comedy. And got some good inspiration from there. And, man, that was it. It was
you
great.
You also got a shout-out on one of those.
I did. Yeah, I got a shout-out this morning from, and again, don't listen to your kids. But if you like sort of some of our banter, Danish and O'Neill, it's a comedy podcast, super not kid-friendly. But I like their show a lot. And I met O'Neill afterwards, after a set. It was a lot. I was beat. And he went on at 12:45. And so he was done at one, and I went up to him. I was like, "Hey, man, I'm a huge fan of the show." And he realized, like, "Oh, I tweeted him, because I tweeted him. Are you guys going to be doing something?" Mm-hmm. He's like, "You're from Twitter, yeah, Logan." So we talked for a second, and I was like, "Man, I gotta go. I gotta get to bed." And he laughed. And this morning on the podcast, he was like, "I met Logan. He looked like he had a long day."
I think he said he looked like he had a rough day.
Yeah. I had a long day. It wasn't rough, but it was long, and it was a lot of fun. And just hanging out with other people of sort of this press. I took a shuttle with an Argentinian newspaperman, and it was great, man. So again, thanks to Disney, everybody there who really hooked it up for us, and I can't wait to do it more. I think next we got maybe Cars 3 and then Ralph 2. So, I mean, we got a good lineup coming up.
Here's the last question on Moana I want to ask you. Because we were talking about what could come, but I want Armchair Imagineer Logan to come up with an attraction based on it.
Oh, man. Well, it almost certainly have to be a water ride.
Okay.
Because it's all, I mean, 70% of the movie takes place on the ocean or in the ocean, or the ocean is a character. I mean, you could do something cool with VR because it has a very cool, the water, if you've seen the trailer, is a character as well. So the water has kind of like that magic carpet feel as well, where it kind of moves the characters through, and Moana can communicate with the water. So maybe that could be something cool with a mix of VR. I just did at
or maybe even projection stuff, like
projection.
Like if it's, say, Splash Mountain, that now I'm taking over and I haven't seen the movie, but like Splash Mountain mixed with the Frozen ride.
Dark
Ride 2.0.
Yeah, if you could do that, it'd be great.
Maybe with a big drop at the end or something, that, and not like the
like in a canoe one. Or something. Or
yeah, it's like some sort of big
raft
boat thing. There's also these hilarious villains. There's like one villain that's legit scary, and then these hilarious villains. Again, I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen
like
the trailer.
It's not super dark, though.
It's not. Like I questioned only about two scenes that I was like, yeah, will Riker freak out at these? And they weren't too bad. They're certainly nothing like Zootopia, nothing like these where you felt like your heroes were in peril. You pretty much have a pretty good understanding that the good is going to win, but it's a good film. I'm really looking forward to seeing it again. I'm really looking forward to buying the soundtrack, because that is something that I
why
can't wait to.
Haven't they released it?
They didn't want it spoiled.
Okay, well that's interesting.
They talked
normally,
about that.
A lot of
usually
times they release
out a week
it to, to build it up, so you get in there, you know.
And
wrong.
I think they want a lot of people to go hear Lynn's music instead of like a lot of the Hamilton
fans. I feel like, yeah, a lot of people are going to do it regardless.
Right. A lot of people that love Hamilton are going to go, even if they're not going to go see a Disney animated film. And maybe if they had the access to the soundtrack before,
just not going to go.
Yeah. And I think it may come out a few days before. Like, I think it comes out maybe sometime next week, like in the 18th. Maybe it comes out Friday. It may come out this Friday. So it may come out a few days. Yeah. I think it comes out Friday. So it comes out 4 days beforehand.
Okay.
So not enough to really probably do things. But they've talked about how they've kind of withheld the musical elements. They've showed like a 45-second clip, I think, of the rock song "You're Welcome," which is, when I watched it out of context, I watched the clip and I was like, "Yeah, that's fine." When I watched it in the movie, I'm like, "This is perfect. It so fits his character."
Do you have a favorite song?
I like "You're Welcome" a lot. There's a song, I think it's called "Shining." I'm not sure what it's called, and it's by Jermaine from Concords. And I just have a soft spot for the Concords in general.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you added Lin-Manuel Miranda, one of my favorite people. The Rock and the Flight of the Conchords. I'm like, this is like my perfect film.
They cast the movie
right,
for you.
Right. So it was hard for me to be objective, but I wasn't expecting Jermaine to show up when he did. I was so thrilled.
So, folks, next week, Terry and I will come back to you and we'll get a real review.
But no, I mean, that's just the truth. I think the first 30 minutes is a bit slow, and then it really picks up. And it's, I do hope we see something in the parks with it. I don't know what exactly, but I don't expect much.
Yeah, I mean,
it took them to make The Little Mermaid.
Well, that's the thing. It would have to be an extremely huge hit for it to be something like Frozen. And even with Frozen, they just repurposed a ride.
Yeah, and they were kind of...
You know, it's not like they carved out a second of a park.
That is what you
got to
think about, guys. It's like, maybe Wreck-It Ralph is going to get something. That's the
rumor. This ain't Universal.
But Wreck-It Ralph has been how many years now? It's been 2 years, 3 years, something like that, if not more than that. Was it before Frozen?
Yeah, it's before Frozen.
Okay, well then it's been almost 5 years. And we're getting Wreck-It Ralph 2 next year, so maybe that's why. But you got to think about that. Like, the Little Mermaid ride opened like 3 years ago. So if you think about that, it takes that long for them to make an attraction, then unless it's Frozen, almost unless the audience so demands it, won't happen.
And then they just repurpose it.
Right. So we'll see.
What ride?
Will just said Splash Mountain.
What ride could this take over?
Oh, man.
It would take over Splash Mountain. I would be upset again.
I could see it taking over. It would never take over Pirates or one of those. It just feels like it absolutely has to be. Either that or Swiss Family. You know what? They could do a pretty good overlay of Swiss Family Robinson and make that fit more with the Adventure Polynesian theme.
Gotcha. The Treehouse.
The Treehouse, yeah.
I'm like, there's no Swiss Family Robinson ride, Logan.
No, I'm saying like that's something that I could see. They'd have to get more creative with it.
Yeah, getting more
but
themed.
It would fit more in Adventureland now.
Fit in Adventureland.
So I could see. There you go. That's a good one. It's a lot of walking. I prefer not to.
That's just because you've been walking a lot the last few days.
Yeah, I've been walking a lot. I'm very tired. All right.
To carry on the old 18-mile bender.
Yeah, we never talked about that. We'll talk about that next episode. All right, so next episode, guys, next week you'll hear Terry and I's adventure, our trip report from this last trip where I nearly killed Terry Weaver. So it'll be an adventure. We'll leave it as a teaser to that. Any other questions about this wonderful film?
I think it's pretty good, man.
All right, yeah, I did want to give a shout-out quickly to the people at Disney that really helped out, and that would be Jana, Marshall, and Garth from Disney PR who hooked that up, and we can't wait to work with you guys in the future. All right, we'll be right back with more with Listener Questions with Mr. Testa.
It's time for Listener Questions with Lynn.
All right, Lynn is on the line. Lynn, here's our first question for you.
Sarah Jones. I'm trying to decide which dinner dining reservation to keep, Tiffin's or Ohana. We've never done either. Well, we did Ohana for breakfast once, and it's our one night without the kiddo.
All right. So I have pretty specific thoughts on this, but Lynn, I'll let you start.
I really like Tiffin's. I was last week I was at the week before I was at the Nomad Lounge next to Tiffin's. It's super quiet in there right now. You don't get a whole lot of kids.
Yep.
If you're looking for an adult night out and you don't mind the admission charge getting into the Animal Kingdom, I really like Tiffin's quite a bit.
Completely agree. We were just at Ohana like at 10:30 at night, and though it was very not kid-oriented, there's still a little bit of that. What I did check with her was what time she was going, and it's like a 6:30 reservation. So I'd say 100% go to Tiffin's. Ohana is fine. Food's good, but it is still kid crazy. Probably more so than a lot of restaurants.
I would also say, you know, maybe consider if you're trying to be close to Ohana, you know, consider Narcoossee's, consider California Grill, you know, if you're wanting a non-kid experience.
But go to Ohana. It's good. Maybe take the kids. All right.
I would also look at the Tiffin's menu and go, you know, it's a very specific menu and see if there's something on the menu that you're going to enjoy because some people, it's a bit much.
I had it. It was delicious. I loved it. All right. Will had it too.
Yeah. Really like Tiffin's. I agree with that.
All right.
I haven't had Ohana. Well, I mean, I did for breakfast once, but...
Yeah. Patrick Watts says, with WDW Hotels no longer on Expedia, is Direct the only way to book without a travel agent now? I do not know. Lynn, do you know? To go through a travel agent or go book...
Travel agent. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So unfortunately, that's what you got to deal with. You know, check it out.
Amanda Milton asks, if a Magic Kingdom has extra magic hours, do they still have an opening welcome show? If so,
yes.
What time?
Yeah, they'll do a brief show 10 minutes before the park opens to the initial set of guests. And I believe what they do for the 9 o'clock hour is something really quick on Main Street.
Yeah, like, and you'll see me in the mornings. I did this recently. They have like the buses and all those things out, the fire trucks. It won't be necessarily a giant ceremony, but there's still that morning stuff that's pretty fun. And you will get, I think, maybe an announcement, something like that. All right.
Tom Stidman. He's got a good question for us. If it's not too late, what are suggestions to help with touring during Easter? Any suggestions for Easter dinner with ham?
That's specific.
Easter dinner with ham, Liberty Tree Tavern, I just ate at Garden Grill, and it had, it didn't have ham, though. It had turkey. No, I'm going with Liberty Tree Tavern. It'll definitely have ham.
Yep. I don't really know where else you go. So
go to Universal and get some green eggs with ham.
They don't do that very much.
It's seasonal.
Oh. Yeah, it's very seasonal. Like, never open seasonal. The only time you can guarantee to get green eggs and ham, and I found this out because I found it this morning when I was booking a Christmas thing, is if you go to the character breakfast for Seuss, they do green eggs and ham.
Well, isn't that neat?
No, they don't do that often. They do that during Christmas season mostly. So you have to...
You booking another Universal trip?
I want to take... Riker all of a sudden is obsessed with the Grinch, like as of the last 2 days. So I want to take him down to Grinchmas. So we're going to go down to that. And
Terry over there, like, oh, you're going back
going
down
there
to
again?
Florida? Like, like I haven't been seven times in the last 3 months?
Yeah. All right. Moving on. This is from Cole Grua. I'm just going to say Cole. This is from Cole. What is the best strategy for attending the parks on New Year's Eve? I've heard arrive early and stay late, but what do you think is the best? So
I say don't go.
Yeah, don't go. Yeah,
go the night before?
It's an entire show would be devoted to just what's a New Year's Eve strategy. Yeah, a couple of times that I've gone.
We should do it on January 1st.
Yeah, it's actually proper way easier. Time. December 30th, actually. You still get the fireworks, too.
Is it exactly the same?
It is exactly the same.
Okay, because I've never done it the 30th. I've done the 31st because it's New Year's, and I always feel weird.
Test run.
Yeah, it's the
test
run.
Test
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if they did the full 360 and everything.
Yep, entirely the same. The couple of times I've done it, I've got there when the park was supposed to open at 7, and they've let us in like at 6:30 in the morning, and I've just stayed until 2:30 or 3 o'clock the next morning.
I would die.
Dude.
I'd be right there with you, Lynn. I know. After my day in Universal, I can go hardcore.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, pace yourself.
Do you have to stand in the one spot? Like, are you
no,
staking
you know,
your
plane? No, the amazing thing was, so obviously we were using a touring plan.
Of course, we
got through like 35 attractions, and it wasn't so much that we'd seen everything we wanted to see. And at that point, it was like, let's just sit down for a couple of hours.
Because you're exhausted.
And charge our phones, really, is what it came down. But then it was like, well, I'm already sitting. I really don't feel like moving. So we sat at, Pecos Bills, the seats over on the Adventureland side.
Yeah.
We sat there, we found an outlet where we could all plug in our phones. And we just sat there for a few hours. And then we started walking through the parks. But then it got harder and harder to walk. By the time, by the time sunset, which, in late December is like 5 p.m.
Really,
by that time, you couldn't walk through Main Street at all. So you were pretty much staying in the back of the park. And I think we got in line, got our seats around 11 p.m. And that was fine. We saw it was good stuff. It was fine.
Yeah.
Sorry,
go ahead.
I do know there were brief periods where, well, definitely they stopped admitting guests coming in from off-site. And I think there was a brief period 1 year where they actually stopped like running the monorail to the Magic Kingdom. Like they weren't letting people get back on or go into the Magic Kingdom from like Epcot or whatever. That did actually shut down the Magic Kingdom for a few minutes, at least maybe an hour. But that year we were staying at Bay Lake Tower, so people were able to walk back to the towers and then come back in.
I was about to ask that. What is your suggestion for that? If you aren't staying on Bay Lake Tower or Contemporary, other than get a dining reservation and go over there and park there, what are your suggestions on that leaving on a busy night, even for... I mean, Terry and I were at Magic Kingdom on a not very busy night, and we still left we left 30 minutes after fireworks.
Yeah.
Because we decided at 9 o'clock to go to the last showing of Hall of Presidents instead of watching Wishes. And when we got out, we're like, okay, the park was empty, but it was still a 30-minute wait to ride the monorail. And they have the wait times now.
The couple of times where I left like at 2 o'clock in the morning, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, there was at least a 3-hour wait to get transportation out of the Magic Kingdom.
God. That's insane.
And that's why I tell – I mean, it's traffic as far as you can see. There's a wait to get on the bus. But once you even got on the bus, you're not going anywhere because there's gridlock all along World Drive. I mean, there's just no way – to get out anywhere. There's so much traffic. So, if you can't stay at Bay Lake Tower and you can't stay at the Contemporary, try and stay at a Magic Kingdom monorail resort to where you could reasonably walk.
Yeah, we did. This is obviously not a New Year's Day. Now, I've done New Year's at some of the hotels. I've done Grand Floridian and Polynesian. Awesome views. You don't have to go in the park. It's a great way to do it. If you can't afford it, if you can stay there, sometimes they police it to where if you're not staying there, you're not going to be able to see it. But there's some ways. I'll let you figure out how to get there. But when it comes to just on a busy night, Terry and I walked from... Instead of waiting, because we had a reservation at Ohana at 10, and we left at 10, or left at like 9:40 from the parks, we ended up walking to Bay Lake and Ubering from Bay Lake to the Poly.
We tried. We couldn't even get a taxi in because on New Year's Eve, all the taxis are busy. You simply can't get in or out.
So try to stay at the Bay Lake Tower.
I mean, Bay Lake is one. You could probably take a boat to the other Magic Kingdom.
Or just know what you're getting yourself into.
So. Resort. Yeah, or you know, just plan on staying till 5 a.m.
Right. It's easy. All right.
You know, and yeah, by 5 a.m. everything had sort of died down.
I've noticed kind of along this traffic question, some weird...
Like, why is it not a hard ticket event now for New Year's? Not going to put that idea out there, Disney, but...
Exactly. I've noticed some weird construction the last couple times I've been around that sort of almost makes you think that that bus lane situation is coming in, like at Disney Springs. Do you think that's going to happen? Because it seems like there's a few places where it looks like the road is kind of beginning to be divided into three places, which kind of makes sense for a bus lane.
Over by the Magic Kingdom?
Over by the Magic Kingdom, and then a few places over by Epcot. There's just a lot of road construction on property right now that kind of makes you question what's happening.
Well, remember they're doing that northern entrance now to the Magic Kingdom that's going to swing in behind, you know, like over Space Mountain and behind the park.
Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Special thanks to a couple different people to Disney PR. Hopefully you guys enjoyed my talk about Moana. I know that it's a little off, but hey, follow me on Facebook or Twitter. You can see some clips from the press conference. You can also see pictures. I took a selfie with Lin-Manuel Miranda, and I'm making a very weird face, but you can follow my adventure, what I did in LA. Just go over and follow me on Twitter or follow WDW Today. I posted pictures. And you can find pictures with me with Lynn. I didn't get a picture with The Rock because we were too engrossed with each other's conversation.
we were longing.
We realized we mutually loved each other so much. You'll see some pictures and clips from from the press conference. So it's pretty cool. I'll try to throw some more up there. I have some video clips from that as well. And thanks to everyone who I met out there. I know some old WDW Today listeners who sat near me. I appreciate that. Janine, I know you guys know that name from this podcast before. She was my neighbor during the press conference, so cool to see her and meet her in person. All right. Special thanks to the greatest band of podcasting, Off Kilter, and to KingdomStrollers.com. Book your stroller today and make sure you have a pleasant travel experience, and they are going to hook you up. KingdomStrollers.com. That's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And next week, you're going to find out how I almost killed Terry Weaver, and we'll see you on the next show.